All right, Minor Talk is live. We're presented by Jack in the Box. Tons of locations here in El Paso and Las Cruces. That's Jack in the Box, locally owned and operated. Our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk, Jack in the Box, because cravings don't have a curfew. We got a chance to have some Jack in the Box late night. I should say almost early morning after Thursday's game on Minor Talk. And today you can take advantage of Jack in the Box, a little late lunch, a little early dinner. After the game right here, there's one right by the radio station. That is Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Minor Talk, as we get things started here today. Western Kentucky defeats UTEP 68-56, and you know, the excitement, everything that you want to say about UTEP, a little short-lived from what you saw on Thursday, right? I mean, big win for the Miners in overtime against Middle Tennessee, and they could not string along back-to-back wins for what would have been the first time all season long. And they're still shorthanded. That's not an excuse. It looked like in the second half they ran out of gas. That's not an excuse. It's just a reality. And for Western Kentucky, they shot a lot better than the Miners in this one. I mean, you could simply look at the shooting splits for UTEP and say that's what kind of cost them the game. 32% from the field, 23% from beyond the arc, including what they did in the second half, 0-for-10 from beyond the arc in the second half. I mean, they were struggling mightily to get anything on the board. They finished the game, I think it was the last 8 minutes and over 30 seconds, over 8.5 minutes. They could not get a simple field goal. No bucket was scored by the Miners. But the biggest issue that I see, Sal, is 15 turnovers and uncharacteristic by the Miners right there. And that's how you find them losing this game right here. 68-56, a game I thought they could have won this one.
I think so, especially the way that it started, right? They picked up right where they left off in playing suffocating defense, taking care of the ball, and just being quick in transition. However, today, it was something that you needed a full 40 minutes of, just like you needed it on Thursday. And Western Kentucky, I mean, hey, they had a tough loss on Thursday against the Aggies. They didn't want that to happen again. They had a lot to brush up on their end. So also to Adrian, let's just say no foul trouble, nothing like that. Let's say these two teams at their best, I still got to give Western Kentucky that edge in that respect, right? So, just too much for the Miners, man. Didn't matter who they have. It was Western Kentucky's night.
And Western Kentucky kind of needed to redeem themselves after a loss, to your point. I mean, that's kind of one of those, if you're going to tonight's game and you're an Aggie fan, keep an eye out for that one right there, because Middle Tennessee will want a gun for this one right here. Just to split games in conference play is a plus, and Western Kentucky did so this weekend on this tough road swing for them. And I thought this one was close all the way through. I mean, Western Kentucky, a 9-0 run to close out the game in the last 2 minutes. It tells you that this was a, you know, one score game all the way up till that. The Miners had a chance. I thought they played well all the way up until the last 10 or so minutes. And that's where, you know, the offensive inefficiencies caught up with them. If you had to take away, you know, negative takeaways over this weekend, you're going to say, well, consistency continues to be an issue for the Miners. They just aren't consistent. They'll have one nice bucket on offense. They'll give up a bucket on defense. They'll string along some nice defensive possessions, but won't be able to score on offense. Consistency on both ends of the floor has to be what this team embraces, and they did so on that Thursday win in overtime, but they didn't do so in the second half of this game here against Western Kentucky. And then I also think that one of the negative things that you can also take over from this weekend is they're still looking for that guy when, when the game is close, who's going to be that guy to step up in closing moments to try to win games for the Miners. That's what they're still looking for here. But if you wanted to take positive takeaways from this weekend, you're going to say, Sal, L.A. Hayes is somebody for this team right now. You're going to also say that this team continues to get solid minutes from the trio of Watson, West Jr., and Jones. Even though those three didn't particularly have their best game here tonight, those three have to be their go-to guys, as guys who play on the floor together for long stretches. So those are the two takeaways I have from this squad after this weekend's games.
And think about it, too. Going into last game as well, if you just combine the fouls for tonight, relatively clean for them out there on the floor. And if they're going to be able to play aggressively without fouling, it could bode well. I think what really did this team in the end, that final 10 minutes or so, was the turnover. It just killed the momentum, killed the power that they have, that they were playing with up to that point. So, but for that big three, man, I think if they can stay foul free or you know, not get into foul trouble per se, they're going to have a decent chance. And they had a good chance for a good part of the game.
Yeah, I feel like for the Miners, they also felt they also had a back and forth affair with what they did in the turnover margin. The turnovers just really crept up on them in the final stretch of the game. I mean, guys who made a lot of turnovers today, where it was uncharacteristic, five turnovers by Kasim Watson. That was unheard of, right? He was 3 for 12 today. He struggled, but 7 points, and then still contributes with 8 rebounds, finds a way to still be impactful despite, you know, kind of struggling at points in this game. I just feel like for the Miners, they have to figure out ways, you know, to get buckets. They have to figure out ways to bypass some of these schemes that are against them. Western Kentucky went a lot of zone today. And then I look at Jamal West Jr. He was 5 of 11. He made 5 free throws today. He had 15 points to lead the way for the Miners. That's still just not enough. I mean, Elijah Jones, another kind of shaky shooting game, 2 for 10. I thought he was shooting off balance all game long. Still found a way to be impactful. I mean, I'm still going to stand by that. The Jones, Watson, West Jr. minutes have to be good in order for UTEP to win these games. And that might be their identity, Sal. I mean, if this trio right here can really take a step forward, that could be their identity moving forward, is they go kind of how, you know, those three go in every single game.
Yeah, it's good to say this, right, when they're relatively clean these last couple of days, and they give you a lot of minutes out there. That's what you want. So that may be it. Maybe they're going to have to play bigger than they normally do. I mean, they already are this year. They have, you know, respectively, like, more size than they have in the past, at least, just in a variety of areas. So I do think that with the Miners, them playing bigger, if they can have these guys out there, it's going to bode well. But the fact remains, like, it's the final 4 minutes or so. Do you really need a true point guard out there to facilitate or, you know, just take over the game? Or is it going to be somebody who's going to be a wing type of player, a slash and dash type of player? So I'm interested to see what unfolds.
505-6009, that's our telephone number. If you want to weigh in, now's the time to do it. 915-505-6009. Off the bench was Caleb Blackwell. You talk about a ball handler. They started with Cassius Brooks. KJ Thomas has gotten extended minutes, right? I mean, today, 7 points, 6 assists, 3 turnovers, 4 rebounds, 30 minutes of action, 2 steals on defense. That's what KJ Thomas brought them. I thought he was good in the first half, especially. He got to 6 points pretty much right away for the Miners. They really needed that in a big way on their side. So I look at KJ Thomas, and the sophomore is kind of growing up right in front of our eyes. I know the expectations are high for a player like him. I feel like he's starting to rise to that occasion. I also look at players in that backcourt. Cassius Brooks, 17 minutes, 4 fouls, 3 points in this one, struggled, but they get Caleb Blackwell back. I just felt like he struggled to fit in the way that they wanted him to. Mm-hmm. 18 minutes off the bench, 2 points, 1 for 4, including 0 for 3 from beyond the arc. He's going to have to work his way back into playing the way that he, you know, used to be playing here for the Miners, but he had an emphatic block that was pretty effective for the Miners, so I did like that from Blackwell. When you think of Caleb Blackwell, though, man, you're thinking of a guy who's starting for UTEP and playing significant minutes. 18 is still easing him back into the fold, don't you think?
No, it definitely is. And just kind of looking, you know, all around the stat sheet, too, for him, 4 shots, it's a respectable amount. You want to see a bit more in general, but easing back into the rotation in some form, no, man, it's nice. I do like the fact that that block, man, oh, my gosh. Yeah. Thought the momentum was all the way for UTEP on that one right after that play. But no, definitely make an impact. So, hey, next game, a long time from now, we'll get to see how more effective he'll be.
In this one, also, Bobby Montgomery Jr. had 6 minutes off the bench. C.J. Smith with 3. Muhammad Bai, he had 2. So they really typically relied on the you know, starting 5 rotation minus Cassius Brooks, and then they mixed in those Caleb Blackwell and L.A. Hayes minutes right there. So there you go. As far as L.A. Hayes goes, that's my favorite takeaway from this past weekend. L.A. Hayes stepping up in a big way. 13 points for him. 4 for 10. I mean, Look, I like the fact that he was shooting, and I like the fact that he kind of got the green light to shoot as well. He also is 1-for-3 from beyond the arc. He hit some free throws in this one. 7 rebounds, Sal. That might be the best thing that he brings to the table is the rebounding, and he also chipped in with 3 steals. I mean, L.A. Hayes, if we had our, you know, player of the game or our hot hand of the game here on Minor Talk still, he'd probably take some awards away this past weekend.
No, it's been nice, and that's what you want, right? We've been saying, hey, who's going to step up? Well, he's kind of, you know, chomping at the bit, saying, hey, look at this production, look at these numbers over this past weekend. So I like it, man. Who knows? It's early still in conference play, and as rough as it's been for the Miners this season, it's hard to look around the league and be impressed too. So I mean,
sure,
there's some room for them to do a little bit.
915-505-6009. That's our telephone number. 600 ESPN El Paso Twitter next. 600ESPNElPaso.com. We got a couple tweets to get to today. Something quick on UTEP football here today as well, and then we'll wrap this one up. I'm sure, you know, this one I think Miner fans are a little bit confused on, a little bit frustrated, but I think they'll pretty much take the positives from Thursday, knowing what they know about this team. And our feelings really didn't change even going into this one. If UTEP won this game right here, you could say, okay, well, you know, back-to-back wins, that's a step in the right direction. But I don't know if it necessarily changes, you know, entirely what we feel about this team right here and the way it stands. So that's how this kind of everything went here for the squad. And we could talk about it with you here moving forward. 915-505-6009. This is coming in from Poncho. Team played hard, but they didn't take care of the ball. Many cross-court passes that were bad. They're not going to win many ball games, shooting 32% and having 15 turnovers. On the bright side, free throw shooting was 77%. Also, Elijah could not make a basket today. I thought that was, you know, very fair for them to say, is that Elijah, you know, struggled to score. Elijah's struggled to score in the last couple games, but he's still one of the more impactful players for UTEP basketball. So they're going to still go to him as an offensive option. RC at RC0167. We also landed a 5-star quarterback last year. We know where that took us. So talking a little UTEP football. We'll get to some UTEP football recruiting stuff here in just a little bit. 915-505-6009, 600 ESPN El Paso. Twitter next and 600ESPNElPaso.com. That's where you could check in with us as well. You could even download our app, 600 ESPN El Paso, and that is the way you could chat with us here in real time. That is a perfect place to interact with us, engage with us here on the program as we continue. Pinky's going to join us next here on the phone lines. Pinky, welcome back to Minor Talk, my man. It was good to see you in back-to-back games.
Yes, thanks to you guys. First of all, a good crowd. Second of all, those 5 straight turnovers when they had at that point at 55, and they 5 straight, I mean, they were just bad passes. I mean, really bad. And even you could even hear the players after they would throw the ball and they knew it was a bad pass, they'd go, oh, shoot, or some other word. But, you know, that portion of the game right there, and we were all sitting on the baseline opposite from you, and we're just going, man, that was a terrible pass. And, yeah, it was, you know, but, you know, I see where they're coming from. They know they had the opportunity to really either make it or break it at that point right there. And you feel bad for the guys because I know they're trying as much as they can. Also to Coach Golding, he's doing his best he can, and all the coaching staff and everything. But, you can't do little stuff like that and expect to win, especially a close game like that. And I know their shooting was not that great. We were even saying that sitting on the sideline compared to Thursday. But I'm not one that gives up on my teams, and I'm not going to give up on these guys. I'm still there, and I'll be going to watching the games more and more, and including the women. But, you know, my point is, you know, you do the best is what you got with. I know they don't have a big guy. It was obvious today a little bit. But, you know, hey, picks up and just keep on going.
All right,
thanks,
Pinky.
Guys, have a good weekend.
It was good to talk to you, man. Thank you for calling in, Pinky. That's our pal. And points in the paint favored Western Kentucky considerably, to Pinky's point. 34 points in the paint by Western Kentucky in this one to UTEP's 18. The big man was tough for Western Kentucky all night long. They were banging down low. They were getting points in the paint, and that was definitely one of those things. But I'll give Miners a credit. 44-37 was the rebound margin. It was a little closer than that, and Western Kentucky separated themselves in the late part of that game, but I'll give credit for the Miners for hanging tough in that rebound margin pretty much throughout the game, with the exception of just that final stretch right there. So there you go. Credit to UTEP's rebounding in this one right here. 915-505-6009. UTEP football got a commit today from a Virginia Tech running back. That's right. Jeremiah Coney has committed to UTEP. His representative told NIL on Sports. And he's a 6'0", 200-pound running back who averaged 5.8 yards per carry across 19 games. He turned down Power 4 offers and interest to come to UTEP. And that's a name right there, Sal, that UTEP gets, who I was just told is going to be projected their bell cow. How about that? He's going to probably be their every down running back. They lose their two running backs. They lose Ashton Emery. Hassan Wilson didn't really play much all last year, so you're looking to reset that running back room, and now you get a chance to put a guy in, Jeremiah Coney, who's going to join the mix, who has that ACC experience under his belt.
Yeah, it's definitely nice to get a P4 caliber player, right? He was there for a reason, and it makes you feel better about the departure of Emery. So just seeing those graphics of them on the new team, it's kind of like, man, it feels like it was just yesterday that they were wearing a Miner uniform and just trying to get this thing on track for them. So it's nice, man. I'm excited to see it, but the fact still remains, like, what is the play calling going to be like, and what is that offensive line going to be like to help these guys out?
Yeah, the offensive line's a big one for me. They have to be better on that offensive front. And for UTEP, they don't really have a lot of offensive linemen committed just yet either. So that's a bit of a concern to me, is I just want to see more of those guys commit when it's all said and done, more of those guys say that they're on that offensive front, and how are they going to restructure that entire O-line? I mean, you look at guys from top to bottom, all the starters from last year will not be returning, so they're going to have to really flip their entire O-line, that offensive front. And then who are they going to be protecting? What kind of quarterback is it going to be? A dual threat guy? A pocket passer? They are hitting the complete reset button on that entire offense.
It feels like going into the offseason this year, there's way more question marks than there was last year, and we're barely in January.
Yeah, and this is the time. I get it. Like, everybody else is building out their roster, too. I get all of that. But at the same time, man, for UTEP, they're going to have to move quickly on a lot of these players. A lot of other schools have landed commits for quarterbacks, wide receivers. We talked about Kenny Odom previously on Miner Talk. And, this time around, how about the fact that Skylar Locklear visiting the place in which his former offensive coordinator is now at, Missouri State hosting Skylar Locklear on an official visit, and that's where Mark Kalla, the former UTEP offensive coordinator, is now at. So that could be a coordinator quarterback reunion out in Missouri State and staying in Conference USA possibly right there for Skylar Locklear. What do you think, Sal?
Hey, I mean, he definitely likes something about it, and he hasn't, it's not like he hasn't followed, the guy calling the plays for him to a new school before. So, hey, he's at the end of his college career, so wants to go out with some familiarity, I guess.
Could he win at that level? Do you think he can win if he was the starting quarterback at Missouri State?
Oh, it's tough to say, man, because I'm going to go to Malachi Nelson. A lot of people will say, oh, man, well, it was the offense who let him down. And you had a larger sample size with Locklear, but let's just say his numbers are improved. Like, what is that measurement that we're going to go by to say it did work out for him? Is it wins? Is it stats? Is it efficiency? So, I mean, hey, it's a fresh set of play calling for him, or at least full-time play calling. So I think we'll have a bigger idea there.
I feel like with Skylar Locklear in Conference USA, it's the perfect conference for him to be in. I don't know if he could win. I'm excited to see if he ends up committing there and if he ends up being given the keys to the car. Could you imagine another quarterback competition for Skylar Locklear? Imagine a third in a row after these past two seasons here at UTEP.
Hey, well, what a rise, though, right? Back up at the FCS level to a starter for maybe two teams. And if you do that, it's like, hey, man, that could be the accomplishment in itself. But
sure.
It's interesting, man, just because I don't know what we're going to get next year with that Missouri State offense.
I don't know what we're going to get from this UTEP offense either. So it's going to be completely hit reset. So let's see what happens. Let's see what kind of offensive coordinator the Miners end up hiring when it's all said and done, too. But there's a little UTEP football sprinkled into today. Hey, up next, the Miners have Delaware on the road. Then it's Liberty. I'm going to take a win against Delaware, Sal, which could be a surprise to some people out there, and then a loss to Liberty. Any difference right there from you? Are you going to say UTEP loses out on the road going into this next road stretch?
No, I do, and I just think with Delaware, man, they've been able to hang tough in some of these conference games. So, you know, so going into it for the Miners, I don't know, man. It's tough because you played as well as you could play on Thursday, and you played almost as well as you did on Thursday, but that was at home. I just don't know if they could get it going on the road.
Yeah, so you have 1-1 or 0-2?
0-2.
0-2, yeah. Delaware, by the way, they lost today to Louisiana Tech in overtime. It was a close game, 70-68. They also lost on Thursday to Sam Houston, 72-60. So they'll look to UTEP as a get-right game, as right now they're 5-11. They've struggled mightily, by the way. They're 1-4 in conference play. Miners right now, 5-11 as well, and 1-4 also in league play. So something's got to give. I mean, it's two teams with the same identical record and two teams who are near the bottom of Conference USA. Yeah.
It's hard, though. I think just the true mark of measure for me, though, is kind of just looking at who they've played, and those five wins are against Division I teams. So
there you go.
I think that's the big difference.
That is a difference there, Sal. I agree with that completely. Hey, let's do this, Sal. We're going to wind it down here on the program. We appreciate all the listeners out there. Thursday was a great show. If you missed any of Thursday's show, go back and check it out. Minor Talk, wherever you get your podcasts, wherever you listen to us on demand. We're going to wrap this one up a little shorter, a little quicker. We've got NFL playoffs on deck. We've got Bears and, of course, Packers, that playoff game that will be heard here on 600 ESPN El Paso. Watch the rest of this Rams-Panthers game. Go Rams here in this matchup right here. And we'll see if the Miners have an opportunity to bounce back and have a victory on the road, their first road victory of the season. That'll be next Thursday. We'll have all the coverage for you in that matchup right there. But that'll do it for us here on the program. Just me and Sal here on the program. Zay will be back in action with us next week. And that will do it for us here on Miner Talk. We appreciate all the people who tweeted into the program. We'll have more on the program here coming up next week. Big shout out to Jack in the Box, our presenting sponsor here on Miner Talk. Check out all the locations of Jack in the Box here in town. And of course, Jack in the Box, where cravings don't have a curfew. Shout out Sal Montes. He produced the whole broadcast and produced Miner Talk as always. Shout out to all of you for listening to us here on the program. We'll be back in action next Thursday on Miner Talk. But until then, we'll be signing off and saying so long. Thanks for listening to Miner Talk right here on 600 ESPN El Paso.